R-A-Y-V-E. R-A-Y-V-E. Rave Cream Shampoo presents Grand Marquis. Grand Marquis, lighted by stars, twinkling, glowing, blazing with myriad lights and colors against the night sky. Rave Cream Shampoo's mammoth billboard announces another exciting evening in the world of make-believe. Grand Marquis stars Olin Soule in a light comedy of love and laughter entitled How Now, Brown Cow? And now a greeting from our young star, Olin Soule.
Thank you, George Stone. And on behalf of Rave Cream Shampoo, I extend a hearty welcome to you all. Diction, inflection, and breath control have nothing to do with romance. They're all steps in the training of the voice. At least that's what handsome young playwright Alec Arnold thought until he began teaching them to his lovely secretary, Susan. And then Alec discovered that he wasn't improving her voice so much as she was having a profound effect on his heart. But first,
blonde, brunette, red hair, or white, Rave Cream Shampoo plays no favorites when it comes to bringing out natural color in your hair, color you never dreamed was there. Yes, with your very first Rave Cream Shampoo, you'll see Rave uncover colorful, bewitching new beauty. Gleaming champagne tones in blonde hair, touches of tawny sherry in brown, hints of midnight blue in hair that's raven black. With red hair, Rave brings out bright catchlights of burnished copper and gold. And with white hair, Rave is wonderful. Never leaves it looking yellowish and discolored, but radiant with blue diamond whiteness. Not a dye, not a tint, not a soap. Rave is the cream shampoo for color and gleam. For a lovelier you, uncover new natural color in your hair with Rave Cream Shampoo. Get Rave, R-A-Y-V-E, sensational Rave Cream Shampoo at all drug, department, and 10-cent stores. Handy tube that can't tip, spill, or shatter, just 60 cents, family size, $1. Alec Arnold is a smart, successful young playwright who thinks he knows all the answers. And so he has no idea what's in store for him as he lounges in his sumptuous apartment dictating the lines of his latest play to his lovely secretary, Susan.
Okay, Susan, scene 3. As the curtain rises, Gloria and Cecil enter from terrace left. They... Susan?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Arnold. I didn't realize you were dictating again.
Oh, look here. You're worn out, aren't you, Susan?
Me? Oh, no. I'm as fresh as a piece of wet blotting paper.
Beg pardon, sir.
Yes, Hawkins.
Shall I make more black coffee, sir?
Susan, could you handle any more black coffee?
Oh, thank you, but my limit is 10 cups.
No more coffee, thank you, Hawkins.
Very good, sir.
Well, now then, what were Gloria and Cecil doing?
Cecil was about to take Gloria in his arms.
Now, cheer up, Susan. We're almost through. Then the play will be ready for Danae to rivet to pieces again.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Cecil takes Gloria in his arms and kisses her.
But I thought they weren't going to kiss.
Now, Susan, stop arguing every time I change a line. This is laughably known as revision. Danae says they must kiss.
You know, this wasn't a bad play before she read it.
No, my plays are never bad before Danae reads them. All right, now we take out Gloria's line. Cecil, speak to me. The line will now read, Cecil, shut up.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
We cannot deny this thing. Your star and mine have collided in outer space. Time itself has... Well, what's wrong with that?
You dare me to tell you?
Susan, when you've worked for me longer, you'll learn, as I've had to do, to take things as a matter of course. All this is just the usual routine. I write a fairly mediocre play for Danae. She reads it and screams because it has enough glamour. I revise it, turn it into a real stinkeroo, and bingo, another smash Broadway hit.
You ever thought of writing a really good play?
Oh, don't be silly. It'd probably ruin me. And yet, who knows? Perhaps someday I'll throw everything to the winds and write a masterpiece.
Yes, well, perhaps we'd better finish this one first.
Yes, of course.
Where were we?
Let's see. Oh, two footmen enter carrying... Susan.
Hmm?
Susan, who are you?
I beg your pardon.
Well, what I mean is, since you've come to work for me, I've never known where you live or what you do when you're not pounding a typewriter.
Oh, I live in a rooming house and I eat and sleep.
Where do you
eat? At the corner drugstore.
Are you the sole support of an invalid grandmother? Does your little brother sell newspapers? And is there a young man saving his pennies to buy you a little bungalow in East Orange, New Jersey?
Oh, I'm sorry to spoil your plot, but no. There's just Susan.
Oh, I wonder whatever happened to my love life. Well, let's finish the last scene. Enter two footmen carrying Helen's lifeless body. Gloria and Cecil stare at the inert form. Gloria stifles a sob and drops to her knees as the curtain slowly falls. The end.
Whew. I love these cheery endings.
Yes, without doubt, it'll be my greatest success.
Beg pardon, sir.
Yes, Hawkins?
I bear another urgent communique from Miss Donnay Davis, sir.
Well, that's what I get for living in the same apartment building with her. Thank you, Hawkins.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Blah, blah, blah. Blah. Somehow I get the idea that Miss Davis is growing a wee bit impatient.
Quite impatient, I would say, sir.
Susan, will you please hand Hawkins the revised pages?
Oh, by all means. Mm-hmm. Here you are, Hawkins.
Oh, thank you, Miss Susan. I'll nip up with him at once, sir.
Yeah, now we'll next have A, Danae will refuse to do the script. B, she'll threaten to go to Hollywood. This will be followed by C, a tender reunion. And D, she'll forgive me. The play will then proceed as scheduled.
Oh, it all sounds too fascinating.
Yes, the novelty is beginning to wear rather thin, though. Well, Susan, here's your check for services rendered. The hard way.
Well, thank you and goodbye, Mr. Arnold. It's been a great experience.
I hope you'll get over it, Susan.
Oh, it's nothing that a few weeks in a straitjacket won't cure.
What are you trying to do? Ruin me?
Well, Danae has now finished reading the play. Susan, have you met Miss Davis?
Oh, how do you do, Miss Davis?
You did this deliberately to wreck my whole career.
Oh, no, I just did the typing.
I don't mean you. I'm talking to this fiend. Never have I read such a play.
Why, thank you, dear.
It's drivel, trash. I refuse to play in it. We're through, Alec, through. Do you hear that?
I not only hear it, but I was expecting it three lines back.
Oh, well, let's second it. I'm going to accept that offer from Hollywood. Oh, I don't know why you ever became engaged to me.
Funny, I always thought it was the other way around.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll...
You keep out of this. Alec, this time I mean it. I'm going. And the day you come to me on your knees, begging to come back, I'll laugh.
Golly, what a hammy exit.
You know, you really don't care about anything, do you?
Now, Susan, watch your language.
No, people are just characters to put in your plays. Doesn't even occur to you that they might be human beings.
Well, so few of them are. Well, Susan, before you go, would you mind typing a letter for me to Neil Martin, my scenery designer?
Oh, yes, sure.
I haven't told him yet if I like his models for the stage sets. I want a few alterations in the second act. I'm going to run up to his country place this weekend and... Susan, you've upset me.
I have.
Yes, and it's very annoying. For years now, I've gone along in my own neat, well-dusted little world, and then here you come throwing words at me.
Mr. Arnold, Miss Davis is leaving.
Calm down, Hawkins. This is merely section E of sequence number 3.
But, sir, her trunks are on their way downstairs in the freight elevator.
You want to bet that the trunks are empty? Well, Danae, come in.
Goodbye. And I hope I never lay eyes on you again.
Look, Danae, you're overplaying your part a bit this time.
Oh, does this plane ticket look like it? Goodbye, Alec.
Okay, go ahead. See how far you get without my plays to camouflage you.
I wonder how far your plays will get without me.
Listen, I could take the rawest, greenest, untrained girl and turn her into a better actress than you'll ever be.
Then why don't you? I'm through. Washed up. Finished, do you understand? Finished.
Well.
Ah, yes. A finished actress. What did she do if there were no doors to slam?
Oh, you're actually letting her go.
Certainly. Best thing that's happened to me in
years. But the play.
Sure, the play. Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Beg pardon, sir.
Yes, Hawkins.
If I might make a suggestion.
Oh, suggest by all means, Hawkins.
It would serve Miss Davis jolly well right if you did convert the rawest, greenest, untrained girl into an actress, sir.
Yes, an excellent suggestion, Hawkins, if I had a raw, green girl.
If I might still further suggest, sir, what about Miss Susan here?
Oh, no,
Susan?
No.
Oh, no, Hawkins, no. I...
She has looks, sir.
Mm. Now, stop it.
She has charm, sir.
Mm. No. Mm.
And a nice figure, sir.
Mm. Now, wait.
She'd have audience appeal, sir.
And I'm 12 hands high, and I came in third at Santa Anita. Now, if you'll kindly step aside.
Susan, dear girl, I've got news. Fantastic as it may seem, you are about to become an actress.
Cecil, tell me everything. We cannot deny this thing. Your star and mine have collided in outer space.
just a minute, Susan.
Yes, Alec.
This I wouldn't have missed.
Now, you shut up, Neil. Susan,
yes?
This is not a slapstick comedy.
Oh, that's what you think.
Now, look, Neil, you just stick to your scene designing, please.
Mr. Neil, this is the third time I've said lunch is ready.
We'll be there in just a minute, Mrs. Howendoddler.
I fix a nice hot lunch, then it gets cold. Now it's getting hot again.
Well, we're almost through with rehearsal, Mrs. Howendoddler.
Alec, you know, the trouble is that Susan needs a foundation.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, you just can't throw her into line reading until she learns how to talk.
I've been talking since I was 11 months old.
Yeah, you're right, Neil. Susan, say ah.
Ah.
Now say oh.
Oh.
Now say how now, brown cow.
How now, brown cow.
Gee, she doesn't know how to breathe either.
Oh, just what have I been doing all my life?
Beg pardon, Mr. Neil, but your housekeeper instructed me to inform you once more, sir, that if you do not partake of the luncheon she has prepared, she is going to kick up a frightful row.
Oh, thanks, Hawkins. We'll be right there.
Very good, sir. How do things seem to be progressing, Mr. Allen?
A little rugged, Hawkins.
Yes.
Now, Susan, say, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why?
Well, for some mysterious reason, you can't be an actress without it.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Yeah. Now say, E-I-O-E.
Now, if nobody ain't coming to eat that fair lunch, I quit.
E-I-O.
My land. What's the matter with her?
Think nothing of it, Mrs. Howendoppler. Come on, Miss Svengali and Trilby. You need some food.
Yeah, okay, Neil. Go ahead. Just a second. Now, Susan, look. We'll spend a few weeks on diction, inflection, breath control, and all that stuff. And then we'll get your letter perfect and part before New York rehearsals start. And... Susan, what's the matter? Hey, you're not going to cry.
I never cry.
Oh, why, Susan. Now it's too early to be discouraged. You'll be able to do it.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Susan, it's going to be all right. Don't let me get you down. Come on, let's have lunch.
What do I get to eat this time?
Oh, a lamb chop, pineapple juice, Melba toast.
Again, is that all I ever get to eat?
If you want curves in the right places.
I'm not going through with this.
But, Susan...
I simply won't do it. I'm through. Washed up, finished, do you hear? Finished. Tell me everything. We cannot deny this thing. Is that better?
Well,
you better not answer that.
Here. Neil, you read the part of Cecil for us.
Oh, no. I just designed scenery.
Beg pardon, sir, but I am willing to have a go at the part.
Why, Hawkins. Well, okay. Here you are. Now give your all.
Oh, father, sir.
Okay, Susan, go ahead.
Your star and mine have collided in outer space.
My darling... All these years, you have been my true love.
Not a third, eh? Simply colossal, Hawkins. Proceed.
Oh, is there more? Oh, yes. Oh, my darling, we cannot...
Oh, wait a minute now. This is where Helen, the wife, enters.
Now, three times I've said dinner's ready.
Here, Helen, read your part.
Huh? My name ain't Helen.
Oh, yes, it is. Now, here, take the script and read this line right here.
See, so... I am not surprised.
This I wouldn't miss.
Okay, Susan, go ahead.
No, Cecil, it will always be too late for us.
No, darling, we cannot live without each other.
Okay, Miss Hornblower, you enter now and see them in each other's arms.
Cecil groans. I am not surprised. Grunt.
Oh, no!
Now walk over to the Davenport, Susan, and keep that book on your head.
Extend your left hand with the fingers curled upwards imploringly.
No, Susan, the right hand, palm up appealingly.
Is my left eyelash all right, or should it curl over my nose? Oh, no, brown cow.
Fine.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy door.
Good. Susan, look, more magazines, more pictures.
Of me?
Sure, it's now reached the point where the public demands its money back if every magazine and newspaper doesn't carry a picture of you.
Susan in the garden. Susan beside her swimming pool. Susan, Susan, the most sensational find in theatrical history, soon to be starred on Broadway in Alec Arnold's new play. This is known as the big build-up.
Well, Alec, the mere thought of it scares me stiff. When do we leave here?
Oh, wait. Tell me first about the little brown fox.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Ah, long laugh.
Well, leave for the city tomorrow and start rehearsals. And don't look at me like that, Susan. That's not in our contract.
What do you mean?
Well, every time you turn those big reproachful eyes on me, I'd... Blast it, Susan, I'd fall a little more in love with you.
I am.
Well, do you think a fella can push a woman around and beat her brains out and not fall in love with her? Susie... Come here to me.
Why, Alec?
Oh, you sweet, lovely thing.
Oh, Alec.
Yeah, and that's certainly not in our contract either.
The curtain falls on Act One of How Now, Brown Cow. Act Two follows in just a moment. When Mother Nature goes to work, she uncovers lovely natural color in the great outdoors. And when Rave Cream Shampoo goes to work, Rave uncovers lovely new natural color in your hair, color you never dreamed was there. Yes, right before your very eyes and with your very first Rave Cream Shampoo, Rave's creamy lather brings to light all the breathtaking natural color in your hair. Rave is not a dye, not a tint, not a soap. Rave is the cream shampoo that brings out color and gleam. Rave lathers beautifully, rinses out fast, removes all loose dandruff. And Rave contains lanolin, doesn't leave hair straw dry, needs no conditioner. Entire families everywhere are changing to Rave cream shampoo. Change to Rave yourself. See Rave uncover irresistible new natural color in your hair, and you'll rave and rave. Get Rave, sensational Rave cream shampoo at all drug, department, and 10-cent stores. Handy tube that can't tip, spill, or shatter, just 60 cents. Family size, $1. Get your Rave today. The successful playwright, Alec Arnold, has written a new play for the well-known actress, Donay Davis. In a fit of temperament, Donay has walked out on him and accepted a contract in Hollywood, leaving Alec without a leading lady. To get even with her, Alec has trained his secretary, Susan, to play the part. And in the process, Susan has not only learned about being an actress, but Alec has fallen in love with her. As our second act opens, the stagehands are building the scenery for the play while Susan stands shaking outside her dressing room at the theater.
Susan, listen, good night. We can't talk out here in all this racket. Come on back into your dressing room.
But are we supposed to be rehearsing?
Yeah, we'll take a break. Neil wants to get his scenery set up. Susan, look. Susan, you're shaking like a leaf.
Alec, you know just as well as I do that I'm still not an actress.
Well, don't worry. No one will ever notice. Susan, listen, I haven't said anything more to you about... Well, what I mean is I haven't said any more because... Well, look, now, I don't want to influence you. I don't want you to go through with this just on my account.
Oh, but Alec,
Hey, is Alec here, Mal?
No, he isn't. Go away, Neil.
Alec, you've just got to come out here. They're trying to use an orange baby spot on the second scene, and it makes everything look like oranges.
Oh, for the love I haven't. Okay. Susan, stay here. I'll be right back.
Come in.
Hello. Oh? We met before, didn't we? When you were Alec's secretary.
Hi. What are you doing here?
And he thought he could turn you into an actress. Oh, the poor dear.
I thought you were in Hollywood.
I was, and I'd still be if I hadn't seen all those publicity pictures of you. Soon to be starred in Alec's new play, eh? Oh, no, my dear.
But he...
Of course he knew what he was doing. He knew that would bring me back. What's the matter? Did you really take him seriously? Yes. I've been pretty silly, haven't I?
Well, that's that. Now...
Darling.
Danae, what did
you... Darling, you knew I'd come back and save your place.
Oh, no, now. Wait a minute, Danae.
It's all right. I understand. I'll just step
just
out
a minute,
and then
Susan.
She could...
Danae, this may be a great shock to you, but Susan is the star of my play.
Oh, precious, Alec. I know your feelings were hurt, darling, but that's all over now. I forgive you.
I said Susan is still the star. I wouldn't let you play a walk-on in a play of mine.
Well, you can't treat me like that.
Well, did you imagine you could just calmly walk in and take over?
Yes, that's what I believe. How's your bank account, darling?
Don't change the subject. You... What do you mean?
You should read contracts, precious. In big, bold, black and white, it says that I am the exclusive star of all your plays.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Danae.
Alec, listen. I'll go.
Yes, I'd better clear out, or I'll sue Alec for every penny he's got.
Okay, Danae, go ahead.
You don't mean that.
No, Alec, please.
I said go ahead.
All right, I will. And when you beg me to come back, I'll laugh my head off.
She should get a new exit line.
Alec, you mustn't let her do this.
Oh, Susan, don't look like that. She won't do anything. She never sued anyone in her life. That was merely a tagline for a big
but
scene.
Alec,
come
you...
here, darling. Don't you see? Everything as of right now is absolutely all right. Hey, Alec, this just came for you by registered mail.
Yeah?
Well, thanks, Neil. Good night. It's from Danae's attorneys. She's suing me for $500,000.
Oh, wow.
But I haven't got $500,000. She can't do this.
You better do some fast thinking, brother.
Yeah, yeah, let me think. Wait a minute. There's only one thing I can do. Look, Neil, call the cast for a special rehearsal right away, and don't let Susan know about it.
You don't want Susan to know about it?
Of course not. Now I'm going to phone Danae to get over here to the theater, but quick.
Oh, my precious Alec, and I thought you just didn't love me anymore and didn't want me to be in your play.
Well, Danae, how could you think such a thing?
Oh, you were just testing me, weren't you, darling?
Oh, you just don't realize what a clever chap I am.
Oh, precious. Kiss me, darling.
Well, shall we leave that until later? We've got to start the rehearsal. Come on, Danae, the cast is waiting. Come, come, my dear.
Cecil, don't say anything.
Wonderful.
We have... Now listen, Alec.
Go on, Danae. Stop interrupting rehearsal. Go on.
We have no right to happiness, Cecil. We can't do this to Helen. After all these years... Oh, Alec, now listen here.
Don't hold up the rehearsal, Danae.
But this isn't the original script. This is the original script, and it isn't the one you revised for
That's
me.
That's right. We went back to the original.
But I won't do the original. I told you before I would never do this one. It makes me sweet and sickening.
Now, Danae.
It hasn't any glamour. I just won't do it.
But, Danae, dear, this is the version we're using.
You'll use the version you revised for me.
Oh, no, Danae.
You'll use that version or I'll sue you.
Now, that's where you're so wrong. You should read contracts sometimes. It says nothing whatever about my revising scripts to suit you.
But I won't play it this way.
What did you say to me?
I refuse to play it.
Just a minute now. Do I understand that you refuse to do the play?
Flatly, absolutely, and definitely, I will not do it. Do you hear?
Perfectly. And so does the rest of the cast. This time we've got witnesses. Hey, wait, Danae, what are you doing?
I'm tearing up this file script. And you can tear up the contract to rip it to pieces.
Why,
Danae? I'm through with you and your foul face. I'm going back to Hollywood, where I'm appreciated. And you can just try to get me back again. Just try. I'm going to marry my producer.
Goodbye, Danae. Thanks so much for coming. Well, okay, Cass, suppose you all take a break now. We still have half an hour before Susan arrives for the regular rehearsal.
Alec, why on earth didn't you tell me what you were trying to do?
Oh, I handle these things in my own underhanded way.
But Susan was here.
What? Susan?
Yeah, she got here early and saw Danae rehearsing.
What?
Golly, I didn't know how to explain to her. I thought that you decided...
Where is Susan now?
She left and said to tell you that she understands about everything.
Oh, good grief. Oh, my gosh. Now I haven't any leading lady. But, Hawkins, the secretarial agency must have her address.
No, sir. The employment agency is no longer in business, sir.
Hey, wait. She said she lived in a rooming house. Get your hat, Hawkins. We'll cover every rooming house in town.
Do you mind, sir, if I nip into this drugstore to purchase something for tired and blistered feet?
No, and you better get some for me, too.
Oh, yes, sir.
The corner drugstore.
Yes, sir.
Hawkins, she said she always eats at the corner drugstore. Come on.
Forgive me, sir, but considering that we've patronized every corner drugstore for almost 2 weeks, couldn't we dine tonight at one in the middle of the block?
Yes. Hawkins, go on home. Go home and rest. I'll carry on along.
Oh, thank you.
Take your order, sir. We got turkey tonight on a 50-cent dinner.
No, just something for a headache, please.
Yeah, but we got turkey, sir.
Look, I've already had 4 drugstore dinners tonight. All I want now is something for a headache.
Well, okay.
How nice.
Huh?
Brown cow.
Susan. Oh, golly, Susan, I've hunted this whole town over for you.
Well, why didn't you try looking where I live? Well,
who knows where you live? Susan, why did you run away?
Why didn't your show open last Tuesday?
I didn't have a leading lady.
You had Danae.
She went back to Hollywood, where she'll marry her producer. Susan, look, will you come back and open the play and marry me?
Oh, Alec, I don't want to be an actress.
Oh, okay, then will you just plain marry me?
But why do you want me to marry you?
Because I love you, blasted. I love you.
Oh, couldn't you have said that before? Do I have to write your dialogue, too?
Oh, Susan, darling.
Here's your order, sir. Something for a headache.
Headache? Susan, am I going to need something for a headache?
What headache? You haven't got time to have a headache. You've got to brush me up on my life so the play can open.
Oh, Susan, you mean... Oh, how wonderful can you be?
The brown cow just jumped over the quick brown fox.
And the lazy dog laughed his head off. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad you enjoyed tonight's play. And next week, we'll be back with another hilarious comedy romance. To a real sports fan, there's magic in baseball. But for Steve Dalton, there was just a little too much magic. His star pitcher carried a pet mouse in his pocket, always said bread and butter, and disappeared on the night of the big game to weave a spell around a wart on his finger. I know you won't want to miss Hex Marks the Spot. So why not join us next week when Rave Cream Shampoo will again present Grand Marquis.
Tonight's original play, How Now, Brown Cow, was written by Virginia Safford Lynn and produced by Norman Felton. Olin Soule played Alec, and Muriel Bremner was heard as Susan. The orchestra was conducted by Joseph Colicchio with original music composed by Emil Soderstrom. Be with us again next week when Grand Marquis will again blaze with light and color high in the gay airwaves, inviting you to join our audience for a performance of Hex Marks the Spot. Though he's seeing you tonight, girls, remember there's always tomorrow. So tonight, trust the magic of Yankee Clover, that gay, unforgettable Richard Hudnut fragrance, to weave precious moments into treasured memories. Yes, and every day use Yankee Clover as your own special fragrance to keep romance alive and eager. Smooth on Yankee Clover toilet water top to toe after your bath for captivating all-over springtime freshness. And to make allure doubly sure, always remember a final touch of Yankee Clover perfume to ear tips, hair, and throat. This is the gay way, the Yankee Clover way, to accentuate your charm. Yankee Clover, you know, comes in cologne and dusting powder, as well as toilet water and perfume. In Paris, you'd get Yankee Clover at the famous Richard Hudnut Salon on the Rue de la Paix. Here, just ask at any leading drug or department store for Yankee Clover. Romantic fragrance by Richard Hudnut.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.